All right, I will say good morning, good morning, good morning. Shechianu v'kimanu v'gionu l'azman hazeh. So exciting, Baruch Hashem, to be able to begin a new Masechta. And again, the week of Rosh Chodesh Elul. And the truth is, again, you know, getting the, which was such a magnificent Masechta, but the entire essence of the Masechta was one of separation. One of separation, one of disconnect. And how beautiful it is to be in a Masechta now of Kiddushin, where the entire essence of the Masechta is connection. It's connection, and as we enter into this month of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, the month where we celebrate the betrothal and the re-energizing of the marital bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, our closeness to Hashem, that how beautiful is it to begin now Masechta Kiddushin as well. Very exciting months ahead. So let's begin by thanking all of our sponsors. Thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Menachem Av, Benjamin and Elise Wohl, in the honor of Meisha Abramson and Jeremy Lassen, for enabling all of those outside of our physical base measures to be able to participate in our shiurim. To thank Jack Bennett for dedicating all the shiurim and drushos this month in memory of Sergeant Nikolai Rappaport of the Givati Brigade, who died in the Hezbollah ambush in southern Lebanon in February 1998. And we thank Jerry and Sarah Walaski for dedicating all the shiurim this month in the Schus of Refuah Shleima for Zecharia Dov Ben Perel Shira. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, this little boy will have a refuah together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. Also with that, let us begin. Beis Amud Aleph, Meseches Kiddushin, let's go. Ha'isha Niknis B'Shlosha Drachim. A woman literally could be acquired in three different ways. I will say, of course, as you know, we're not really, when we speak about Lashon of Niknis, Lashon of acquired, so remember again, a woman is not acquired by her husband. We're going to see why the Gemara chooses to use, or the Mishnah chooses to use, the Lashon of Niknis of acquired. It's for a very specific way, but rather, again, a better way to understand this is, a woman becomes bound in marriage in three different ways. V'kones atzma b'shtei drachim, and she extricates herself from marriage, or she's extricated from the bonds of marriage in two ways. Here we go. So niknis b'kasef b'shtara b'biyah, ultimately she is acquired. She is acquired in marriage with money, kasef, shtar, document, biyah, relations. So we'll say three ways to affect kiddushin. B'kasef, so we'll say, so now the Mishnah discusses, so what's kasef? How much kasef is kasef? So b'shamay umrim b'dinar b'shavad dinar. So b'shamay says, so dinar, so again we'll get into the specifics of these amounts, or the equivalent of a dinar, something worth a dinar. Or b'silo umrim b'silo says b'pruta or b'shavad pruta. All you need is a pruta or an item worth a pruta. V'kamehi pruta, how much is a pruta? Echad mishmona b'isar ha'italki. One eighth of an Italian isra or talki isra. Again, we'll discuss all of these amounts. Well, so I'll just tell you, kind of just by way of introduction to the Masechta. So, okay, so now you have it, right? Baruch Hashem, Shehiyonu v'kimanu v'gionu l'azman hazeh. We started the first Mishnah in Masechta. So exciting. First Mishnah in Masechta is Kiddushin. Isha niknis b'shlosha drachim. Three ways to affect marriage. Bless you. Kesef, shtar, bia. Ultimately, she acquires herself in two ways. We'll get to that in just a moment. Kesef, our first machlokes of Masechta Kiddushin. How much kesef is kesef? Beis Shammai saying a dinar. Beis Hillel saying a pruta. And I will say, it's interesting. Remember, there's always a connection between Masechtas, right? Always a connection. So it's interesting to note that we ended off Masechtas Gittin yesterday with this concept. We developed this idea how the Torah goes ahead and shows us that people get second chances, right? Remember, again, this whole Yisod that we developed, that here you have a woman, right? Especially if you go with the idea, like one of the opinions in the Mishnah said, Beis Shammai said, that you can only divorce your wife, that imatza ba davar erva. Imatza ba davar erva. So one would have thought that after a woman unfortunately experiences such a tremendous moral lapse, that would be the end. The door would be closed, no future for her. Yet I will say, what's the halacha? B'halcha v'haysalish acher. She's permitted to remarry. Right? So what does that show you? Right? The ability to remarry ultimately highlights to us the ability for second chances. The ability to rebuild yourself even in the aftermath of dramatic failure. And I will say, so right after that, what do you come to? Ha'isha niknis b'shlosha drachim. And I will say, I'll point out to you something amazing. The Tosas already points this out, that why does it say ha'isha? Hey, that hey is the hey ha'yidia, the definitive article. Definitive article. The woman. You could have just said, or I will say, if you were writing the Mishnah, how would you write it? Isha. Isha niknis b'shlosha drachim. Woman. Right? What do you mean, the woman? So I'll say, I'll share with you something amazing. The Sfarim bring down, specifically the Tiferes Shlomo, the great tzaddik of Shlomo of Radomsk, says something beautiful. He says, Ha'isha, by the way, I meant to say also, there are Dafyomi notebooks available in the front right here. But thank you, Maji. Thank you, right? We're just missing the Kiddushin stickers. They will, Amir Tashem, come in. But also, as they say at the beginning of every Masechta, it's Kedai, in Dafyomi, perhaps you are one of the unique people who will remember everything. Most of us, including myself, don't remember everything. But if you could extract a nakuda or two from each daf, a halacha, a dvar hashkafa, a yisod, you write it down in your notebook, you have that with you, that's what your kona, that's what you take with you. So we'll say, so the Tver Shlomo brings down something amazing. He says, Ha'isha, the woman, who is the woman a reference to? The Rebbe says, Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael. Ha'isha. And I will say, there's much precedence for this. All of Shir HaShirim, right? All of Shir HaShirim is a metaphor for the love, for the connection, for the marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Baal, he's the husband. Klal Yisrael is the Isha. Although in Shir HaShirim, sometimes the roles reverse a little bit as well. So Ha'isha, says Tver Shlomo, refers to Klal Yisrael. So what does it mean? Aisha niknis b'shlosha drachim. What does it mean that a woman is acquired in three ways? Listen to this. So remember again. So the woman, Klal Yisrael, is acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Creates a relationship with Hashem through three different ways. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So he says, listen to this. What I'll say. He says, Kesef, get ready, Kesef. Remez l'gu'unas Mitzrayim, shahaya bizas Mitzrayim, bizas ayam. Kesef refers to the redemption from Mitzrayim, the redemption, Egyptian exodus. They will say, what happens when we left Egypt? What happens when we left Egypt? Rechush gadol. There was a lot of money. We left Egypt with all the wealth of Egypt. Not only that, but after the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea, remember again, Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayasa Sa'am, he had to force Klal Yisrael to leave the banks of the Red Sea. Why? Why? They were collecting all the riches that were washing up on the shore. They didn't want to leave. So Kesef, says the Rebbe, refers to Geulas Mitzrayim. That refers to the first time that the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael was truly concretized and solidified. When we left Egypt, the exodus from Egypt represented or embodied by the wealth. Next, Shtar, document. What does that refer to? The Rebbe says, Remez L'Geulas Ezra, Sheshalach Igros LeBavel. He will say, so Shtar, documents, represents when Ezra told Klal Yisrael to come back and rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. What did he do? He sent letters to the Babylonian communities to tell them, come back home. Come back home. Now, unfortunately, we know a lot of Jews didn't come home. They chose to remain in the diaspora. But Lamaisa, again, that's how Ezra chose to try to bring them back home. And I will say, What's Bia? Remez l'geula ha'asida m'mhira b'yameinu. That's Bias Goel. Bias Goel, that's the coming of Mashiach. That's how we refer to Messianic redemption. Bias Goel, the arrival of Mashiach. So I will say, here how the Masechta is opening. Bose, do you hear how the Masechta is opening? Ha'isha niknis b'shlosha derachim. We just finished Gittin, and the whole Yisod of Gittin is Peirud, is separation. And so often in our lives, in our relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if we do things and we behave in ways that often creates a distance, and it leaves us wondering what is the nature and what is the status of the relationship itself. And how does the Masechta begin? Don't worry. Ha'isha, the Isha of Klal Yisrael, as a Klal, as individuals, Niknis B'Shlosha Drama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already solidified his relationship with us two out of three times. Kesef Mitzrayim, Shtar, Bayis, Sheni, and Emir Tzashem, we are waiting for the Bia. We're waiting for the Bias Goa. We're waiting for Mashiach. That's the nature of the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know. I'm speechless. I think the rest of you are you tired or are you also speechless? Overwhelming. I will say again, and this is. I just want to say this is 10 minutes into the Masechta. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. 10 minutes into the Masechta. Okay, we'll say let's go back to it. The Kamehi Pruta. Somebody actually WhatsApped me yesterday. It was one of the guys who listens on the podcast. And he said to me, this is great. He said, I'm just wondering, are we also going to do more Gemara than Chassidish Rebbe's in the next Masechta as well? Right? To which I said, no. It'll be an equal distribution at most. All right, in any event, let's go right there. Says the Gemara. The Kones Atzma. So remember again, now that we've established, there are three ways in which marriage is affected. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. The Kone Es Atzma. Now remember, we're using the Lashon of Kone, right, Niknis, but again, I can't say enough, remember, in marriage, no party owns the other. Remember, there might be certain entitlements, right? There might be certain rights, like a wife brings property into a marriage, so a husband has usage of that entitlement to certain pay. But Lamais, again, I don't want anyone to get thrown by the Lashonos. We're going to discuss why we're using a Lashon of Kinyan in just a moment. So the Kones Atzma, she acquires herself, meaning she extricates herself from the bonds of marriage, beget, okay, throwback, beget, ubemisa sabal, and through the death of her husband. Hayivama, remember again, who's our Yivama? It's funny, right? Anywhere we go, we have the Yavama. Sorry, who's the Yavama? So remember again, Reuven's married to Rachel. Reuven dies without children. Rachel now falls to Reuven's brother for Yibam. So Yavama, Kniknis Babia. So remember again, we'll say, we already spoke about this in Yavama. A Yavama, right? A Yavama does not require a formal act of Kiddushin. Right? She does not require Kesef. She doesn't require Shtar. She doesn't require Chuppah. Because remember again, the whole essence of Yibum is the Yibum marriage is considered to be an extension of the deceased husband's marriage. So all that's required is Bia to be able to affect the marriage. Hayivama niknis b'Bia, the kone es atzma b'chalitza u'b'misa sabal. And she acquires herself through chalitza, or ultimately again through the death of her husband. Death of the Yavim. Good. So we'll say, Mazel Tov, that is our first Mishnah in Meseches Kiddushin. Now, here we go. Ha'isha Niknis. So we'll say, remember again, so the Mishnah opened up by saying, Ha'isha Niknis, that's the Lashon. We'll say, literally translated, a woman is acquired. So says the Gemara, why are we using that Lashon? Ma'ishna ha'cha detani ha'isha Niknis, u'ma'ishna ha'sam detani ha'ish mekadesh. So Rabbi say, so why is it over here that we use Lashon of Isha Niknis, whereas we're going to see Rabbi say in the second parak, Rashi points out over here, Mashna Hasam, look at Rashi, Beparak Sheni Ditana Ha'ish Mekadesh U'Bishlucho. So Rabbi say, remember, we're going to see the second parak, the Lashon of the Mishnah is Ha'ish Mekadesh, a man betroths. So Rabbi say, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is, in the second parak, when we speak about the mechanism of Kiddushin, the Lashon we use is Ha'ish Mekadesh. We use Lashon of Mekadesh. So you hear what the kasha is? Why over here do we say Ha'isha Niknis, a woman is acquired? Why not say over here Ha'isha Miskadeshas, a woman is betrothed? Right? The same way in the second, and again I will say even, I'm using the Lashon of betrothal, the truth is, it's not really what Mekadesh means, but we'll just go with it now. We'll discuss what Mekadesh means in just a little bit. And I'll say, but the point where the Gemara is asking just a syntax question. Why not make it uniform? In the second paragraph, the Lashon is Ha'ish Mekadesh, a man betroths. So we're talking about Kiddushin. That's what we're talking about over here. So why not use that word of Kiddushin and make the opening mission over here Ha'isha Miskadeshas? Why Ha'isha Niknis? So the Gemara says, "Umashna hazam d'tani yesh mekadesh mishum d'kabay lemisni kesef." I'll tell you why. We definitely use a lashon over here of kinyan. Why? Because here the Mishnah is introducing us to the concept of kesef. That halacha lemaisa, that kiddushin could be affected through the conveyance of money. You can give money, and that affects kiddushin. The Gemara says, "The kesef." Now, before we go on, take a quick look at Rashi. Mishum de kaboy lemisne kesef. Rashi says, Bahani kinyonin. Remember again, Mishnah introduces us to three ways to affect kiddushin: kesef, shtar, and bia. So now, with the Gemara, before we even explain this, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is: remember, we'll say, what's our kasha? Our kasha is why are you using the lashon of niknis, kinyon? Why don't you say ha'isha miskadeshes? It's Kiddushin, right? Same way, second parak, Ha'ish Mekadesh. Answer, because the Mishnah wants to introduce us to the concept of Kesef. So before we even know why, the Lashon of Kinyan is most closely associated with the Lashon, with the concept of Kesef, of affecting marriage through money. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Bahani kinyan, if I'm reading on the come on, kesef milan de niknispo, um if Rashina de gamina kicha kicha miste afron, de ikri kinyan." So I said, let me give you the quick answer now, then we'll expound on it just a little bit. We're going to see that kesef, whenever the Torah talks about kesef, the lashon of kesef, the lashon of by kesef is always lashon of kinyan. Kinyan. Kinyan literally means an acquisition. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, even though we should have really used the Lashon of Aisha Miskadeshas to make it uniform, first of all, because we're talking about Kiddushin, and it also makes it uniform with the first Mishnah of the second paragraph of Aisha Mekadesh, we use the Lashon of Kinyan acquisition because we're being taught that marriage can be affected through Kesef, and Kesef is a Lashon of Kinyan, Lashon of acquisition. Okay, so let's go. Here we go. The Kesef Minah, by the way, Gemara says, pause for just a moment, how do you know that marriage could be affected through kesef? We're taking it for granted. We're taking it for granted. The truth is, we're going to ask this question out of the three. I understand that bia could affect marriage. Makes sense. It's a marital act, right? But we'll leave shtar on the side. How do we know that marriage could be affected through kesef? From where do we know that? So this is in Gomer, kicha kicha miste afron. Let's make a gzera shava of kicha kicha from Ste Ephron. That was a Ste Ephron, remember, Pashas Chai Isara. Avraham Avinu purchases the field of Ephron as a Maras HaMachpelah, as a burial plot for Sarah Imenu. Watch this. Ksiv Hacha. It says over here, by Kiddushin, Ki Yikach Ish Isha. So it says, Lashon of Kicha. If a man will take a woman, so ultimately, again, that's Lashon. Kicha by marriage. Uksiv Hasam, Nasati Kesef Hasadeh, Kach mimeni. And I will say, Baikin by Parshas Chayisara. So the Torah says, Avram says to Ephron, I have given you the money for the field, Kach mimeni. So I will say, so in other words, Avram Avinu was saying to Ephron, I have acquired this field with money. So you see again, so Kach over here means Amrav is acquiring the field with money. So Kicha by Ste Ephron means money. Therefore, Ki Yikach Ish Isha. Kicha by marriage also means money. O Kicha Ikri Kinyan. And I will say Kicha itself, Kicha, which means the act of acquisition through money, is called Kinyan. Where do I know that from? Dichsiv Hasoda Asher Kana Avram. Ultimately, again, because it says the field that Avram Avinu acquired. Shabbos say, so this is really quite fascinating. First of all, I just want to point out, this is also interesting because in general, we have a concept of Ein L'meidin Davar Mikol D'Matan Torah, which is that we don't learn our concepts from before Har Sinai. Right? That's why, for example, again, I will say, even though we have Bris Mila in Chumash Bereshis by Avram Avinu, in fact, where do we learn the mitzvah of Bris Mila from? Where do we learn it from? Parshas Tazvia, Ubayom Hashmini Yimol Besar Arlaso. So it's interesting to note over here that the concept of Kesef is being learned now from Parshas Chayisara, which obviously is before Matan Torah, but the truth is, you're not really learning it out from what we're doing is we're making Gzeir Shava. So it could very well be that whereas we don't learn our primary halachas from before Matan Torah, Gzeir Shavas, ultimately, again, can be learned out even from episodes that occurred before Sinaitic revelation. But I will say, here is what's interesting. Let's pause here for just a second, because this is a monumental piece of information that we just acquired. So we just discovered over here, Kiddushin Daf Beis Amud Aleph, how do I know that marriage could be affected through Kesef? How do I know that? And I will say, answer is, first, Gzirashava, Kicha, Kicha, Miste Ephron. This is one of the things that goes into your notebook, right? Kicha, Kicha, Miste Ephron. That's famous Gzirashava. Says again, Kicha by Ephron means money. So too, Kikach Ish Isha ultimately means money as well. Now, I will say, it's striking. And the truth is, many of the Rishonim and Achronim discuss why is that? What's the pshat that the purchase of Maras HaMachpelah becomes the source for one of the mechanisms of marriage? Like what? I will say, you know, often what happens is in Gzeir Shabbos, we don't really think too deeply, because Gzer Shava is from Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It's brought down through generations. And also, it's really just about finding a similar word or a similar phrase that allows you to create a halachic bridge between two concepts. I'll go a little bit weiter before I go into this. Let's finish this thought. Good. So Gemara says as follows. So good. So kira siv hasoda shakan Avram. I'm a base. Inami. Other possibility. So I'll say other possibility that you see ultimately again that kesef is called kinyan. Inami sados ba kesef yiknu. Okay. Gemara quotes the pasuk over here from Yirmiyo. They will go ahead sados ba kesef yiknu. They will purchase fields. Purchase fields with money. Once again, you see kesef is lashon kinyan. Kesef is Lashon Kinyan. So I will say, so look what we've just proven right now. Remember, what was our question? Why does our, follow the flow, why does our Mishnah say Ha'isha Niknis? What should it say? Ha'isha Miskadeshes. Make it uniform with talking about Kiddushin. Answer, so question asked, question answered, because the Mishnah is introducing us to Kesef. By the way, parenthetically, how do you know that Kesef affects marriage. Ultimately, Zereshava Kicha Kicha. Kesef is called Kinyan. So because Kesef is called Kinyan, therefore the Mishnah chooses to go ahead and use the Lashon of Kinyan instead of the Lashon of Miskadeshas to highlight Kesef. Beautiful. I says the Gemara Bosef. So base on the base 2b, second line down from the top. V'nisni hasam ha'ish kona. So I'll say, okay, so now you've proven to me why ultimately, again, you want to use the Lashon over here of Kinyan and not the Lashon of Miskadeshas? Because Kinyan highlights Kesef. Got it. So now I'll ask the question a different way. Why not make the second Perek uniform with the first? And instead of saying Ha'ish Mekadesh, let it say what? Ha'ish Kona. Just make it uniform. Beautiful. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Meikara, Tani Lishan Daraisa, Ulubasov, Tani Lishan Darabanan. I will say, in the first Mishnah, i.e. our Mishnah over here, we want to use biblical Lashon. So I will say, remember again, on a D'oraisa level, there is no Lashon of Kiddushin. Right? There's no Lashon of Kiddushin. Remember, we just saw it. We say, remember, on a biblical level, there's Lashon of Kicha. Lashon of Kicha and Lashon of Kinyan. Right? So remember again, Kicha would be the biblical Lashon for marriage. Ki yikach ish isha. Right? Kicha. That's biblical Lashon. Now what we're saying is, and Kinyan would be the biblical Lashon for acquiring something through money. So our Mishnah, Isha Niknis, is choosing to use biblical Lashon. Let's start out with biblical phraseology. After that, Ulabasov, Tani Lishna Derabanan. Later on, second parak, we'll use rabbinic Lashon. I will say, what's rabbinic lashon? Umay lishna d'rabbanon. So I will say, what's rabbinic lashon? Kiddushin, right? Ha'ish mekadesh. So kiddushin. What I will say, by the way, why mid'rabbanon do we call marriage kiddushin? The asr la'akuli amo kehekdish. Because I will say, it's very simple. You know, my marriage is called kiddushin. Because ultimately, again, this woman becomes prohibited to everyone else. Like Hekdish. Also remember again, you take a piece of wood, you makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens to that piece of wood? So now again, it's so to speak, permitted to the Beis HaMikdash, prohibited to everyone else. So we'll say what happens in marriage, right? A man marries a woman, she is prohibited to everyone else, only permitted to her husband. So that's the rabbinic lashon of Kiddush. Much more to say about that, but we'll finish the daf first. Right, so we'll say, so therefore again, so we'll say, so this all fits in. It's such a beautiful, magnificent Talmudic tapestry. So now all of this fits so perfectly. So we're introduced over here, Ha'isha Niknis, Mishlosha Drachim. Why Niknis? The truth is, what we really wanted to start with was the Lashon of Kicha. Right? That's really what we should have started, because that's biblical Lashon. We want to start with biblical Lashon. But Kinyan is the biblical Lashon for acquiring something through Kesef. And it's in this Mishnah that out of all three ways are really highlighting the mechanism of Kesef. And where is Kesef learned out from? Kicha, kicha, mistei afron. Kicha, kicha, mistei afron. Good.
I, second parak ha'ish makadish. After we use the biblical lashon over here, we use the rabbinic lashon of mekadesh in second parak. Why is that rabbinic lashon? Ultimately, the same way hekdesh makes something prohibited to everyone else, only prohibited to the Beis Hamikdash. So to again, marriage makes a woman prohibited to everyone else, only permitted to her husband. Incredible. The nisnehacha ha'ish kona. So I will say, so why? So now you're going to ask this again. Instead of phrasing this kind of through the lens of the woman, why not phrase this Mishnah through the lens of the man? And instead of saying ha'isha niknis, which literally means a woman is acquired, why not say ha'ish kona, the man acquires? Say, I don't know, you can make the same ha'ish kona es ha'isha, right? Or ha'ish kona bishlosha drachim. A man could acquire a woman in marriage in three ways, kesef, shtar, and bia. Why not phrase it from the man's perspective? Mishun dekabayi lemisna seifa, the kona es atzma. So I will say, because remember, what's the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah speaks about the concept of a woman, so to speak, acquiring herself. We need to say that. So Tana Nami Reisha Bidida. So I will say, so because the end of the Mishnah is talking about how she acquires herself through marriage, so therefore, how she acquires herself back from marriage. So because that's woman-centric, so therefore, halacha l'maaseh, we want to make the Mishnah symmetrical, so therefore we open up the Mishnah talking about her as well. V'nisni ha'ish kona umakne. See, I could alleviate that issue. Why don't you just say, halacha l'maaseh, ha'ish kona umakne. A man could acquire a woman and could convey herself back to her. Again, I will say, I can't say enough because it sounds so strange to speak about marriage as a form of ownership. So please understand that. And we understand we're not using these lashonos in this. It's so important just because it could convey the wrong hashkafa of marriage. We spoke about this yesterday. No person ever owns another human being. And you could have it in avdus, but we don't have it in marriage. Again, remember, we're using a specific lashon of kinyan. Now I know why the Mishnah is using that lashon of kinyan, because kinyan is related to kesef. But again, so why not just say ish kone umakne? Why not just say a man acquires and conveys? This is what I'm saying. The Isa Misa Saval. Because we'll say one of the ways in which a woman, so to speak, acquires herself back from marriage is how? Through the death of a husband, the lav ihu kamakni. So I will say, a man does not control death. He doesn't, so to speak, convey ownership of herself back to her, or convey autonomy back to her. Rather, min shemaya hu demakni la. I will say, it's pretty incredible. So in other words, what the Mishnah Gemara is saying is like this: Why not write? So let's go through this again. So number one, instead of writing Ha'isha Niknis, why not say Ha'ish Kona? So answer number one is because we want to talk about the end of the Mishnah, and the end of the Mishnah speaks about again ways in which she regains, so to speak, complete control. She regains complete control. So therefore, again, why not say Ha'ish Kona Umakna? A man acquires and conveys control. To which the Gemara says, because one of the ways in which she goes ahead and regains full control is how? Death of the husband. And that's not something the husband gives her. Lashon of makne is something you give over to someone else. So yeah, get you give over to someone else. Death, that's not the husband conveying that to his wife, but rather again, min shemaya, that's ultimately again from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll say, what a humbling and dramatic statement, right? We go through life thinking that we control everything. And especially those of us who are mamish, like micromanagers, shtickle control freaks, right? So again, right, we've got everything worked out, everything under control, everything is in place. And here the Gemara says, by the way, just understand, when your life begins and when your life ends, those are, no matter how in control you may think you are, those are not things over which you have autonomy. But lamaise again, shemaya kumakila. Incredible. The other possibility is itana kona. If it would have said kona, in other words, if the Mishnah would have been phrased ha'ish kona, hava amina fila bal karcha. Interesting. You might have thought you would say that marriage could even be affected bal karcha against the will of the woman. Right? Maybe a man has an ability to take a wife in marriage even without her consent. I would say that because, again, Lashon of Kona means that what? You could acquire something. It makes it sound like it's totally on the acquirer. If I choose to acquire something, I'll acquire it. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, Tana Ha'isha Niknis. Therefore, use Lashon of Ha'isha Niknis. A woman, it makes it woman-centric. Demidaita in shalomidaita lo. A woman can only get married again with her consent, but there is no marriage without her consent. Of course, there is technically an exception to this rule, which is kiddush ektana. There is a model of marriage that exists without the consent, but again, it's not even a good raya. Why? Because she's a kintana, so often, again, her consent wouldn't really even be halach. She's a kintana. Okay, but in any event, in normative marriage, halacha lemaisa requires the consent of the woman. Okay, we're good. So we'll say, this officially closes out the first part of our discussion. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, we now understand why, working backwards, it's phrased from the woman's perspective. I also understand why we're using the lashon of nikness instead of the lashon of miskadeshes. I also now learn, I also now learn the makar for kiddushin bekesef, ultimately, kicha miste Ephraim, which I'm going to come back to still before the shir is over. But let's go right there. Umay area, so we'll say, so now a totally different question. Umay area, the tani shalosh, lisni shlosha. Interesting point over here. Let's remember again, how does the Mishnah read? Ha'isha niknis b'shalosh drachim. So I will say, the Gemara asks over here, why is it that we use the lashon of shalosh? Shalosh is nekeba. Shalosh is feminine. It's feminine. Why do we use the lashon nekeva? Nisni shlosha. Why not go ahead and use shlosha, ultimately again, which is lashon zachar, masculine. Mishum tikabayil nisni derech. Because I will say we're using lashon of derech. The derech lashon nekeva. And derech, I will say, which means literally path or mechanisms. Excuse me, literally path, is feminine. Where do we know that derech is feminine? D'chsev, v'hodata lahem es haderech, asher yelchu ba. We'll say again, the Torah is speaking about over here. V'izartem esem es hachukim ves haTorah, v'hodata lahem es haderech, asher yelchu ba. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you will teach them the derech, which refers to Torah. You will teach them the derech that they will walk on. I will say, ba is feminine. So you see from here, that derech is the keba, is feminine, and therefore again, when choosing the number to go before derech, we go with shalosh, ultimately again, which is lashon nekeba, feminine. Okay, pretty straightforward. Ve'ala hadesanya, one second. Derech is nekeba? What about ve'ala hadesanya? V'shiva drachim bot kines hazav. It's actually been a while since we've had zav. Right? It's been a while. Like seeing an old friend again. So Gemara says as follows. So b'shiva drachim, the kind you avoid. Right? So the Gemara says as follows: b'shiva drachim bot kines hazav. We check a zav in seven ways. I will say, now what does this mean? Take a quick look at Rashi. Bot kines hazav. It's the last of the white lines on top. So I will say, remember again, a zav is a man who has a type of emission. Depending on the number of emissions and the frequency of the way those emissions came, so ultimately, again, will determine his tumah and karbanic status. Now, here's the chap with zav. Take a look at Rashi. The machol b'mishta b'choli umaso b'kfiza umara b'hiror she'amachmas echa mehen ra va'anos uvitar. Now, we'll say, the halacha by zav, this is as opposed to zava, the halacha by zav is, if the emission could be attributed to some other source, for example, something he ate, something he drank, an illness, carrying a heavy load, jumping too much, hirhor, some type of arousing thoughts, that's not zav. So when a man has an emission that we think might be a zav, we check him in a variety of different ways to see about what might or might not be the source, the origin of this zav emission. So listen to this. So b'shiva drachim bot kines hazav. Rabbi said, now watch what happens. Now let's go back, because now we're experts in dikduk. Shiva, masculine or feminine? Masculine or feminine? Masculine. Now it says b'shiva drachim. Now one second. We just said, Rabbi said, derech. Is derech masculine or feminine? Zachar nekeva? Derech is nekeva. If that's the case, it should be b'sheva drachim b'bot kines hazav. In other words, if you just told me that derech, ultimately, again, is nekeva, is feminine. So therefore, again, we should use the feminine form of the number sheva and not the masculine form of the number shiva. V'nisni sheva, so say sheva, v'shum nekabayil v'nisni derech. Because no, Gemara says no, because you want to use lashon of derech, and derech is lashon zachar. Derech is masculine. What? So we'll say now, v'ashkechon derech te'ikri lashon zachar. V'ashkechon derech te'ikri lashon zachar. Because we find the word derech, used in the masculine. Where do we use the masculine? Dichsiv, bederech echad yetsu elecha, ubeshiva drachim yanusu lefanecha. It was like in the Torah says, ultimately, right before the Tochacha, when talking about the brachas, right, literally again, your enemies will come, they'll march on you taking one path, and they will run away from you taking seven different paths, right? It's a reference to like the fear that will seize the invading armies, that they're literally going to scatter. So now what do we have? We have contradictory psukim, and we have contradictory mishnai. So now watch what we have. What are our contradictory psukim? On one hand, you told me by Torah, V'odata lahem es haderech asher yelchu ba. Tell them the path they will walk on. Ba, derech, ba. So here, derech is feminine, nekeva. And yet, you're going to both say in Dvarim, you're telling me again, b'shiva drachim yanusu lefanecha. Again, shiva, masculine. You're telling me that derech, ultimately again, is masculine. That's contradiction mishnayis. In psukim. What's contradiction mishnayis? So what's I hear? You're telling me ha'isha niknis b'shalosh drachim. Shalosh is zachar. I'm sorry. Shalosh is nekeva. Ultimately, again, because derech is nekeva, right? And by zav b'shiva drachim, ultimately, again, the Mishnah is telling me that derech is zachar. So I have two contradictory psukim, two contradictory mishnayis. Which one is it? Is derech zachar or is derech nekeva? To which the Gemara says, fine. So we'll say it's not a contradiction. The psukim are not a contradiction. So we'll say essentially what we're going to see is the lashon of derech can be utilized both masculine and feminine. So hacha de b'torakai. We'll say in the first pasuk that we quoted, v'hodata lohem. You will teach them the path that they will walk on. So we'll say that's talking about Torah. The Torah ikri lashon nekeva. Torah itself is usually referred to in the feminine. Dichsiv, Torah Hashem tamima meshivas nafesh. So therefore, kasav la b'lashon nekeva. So we'll say when it comes to describing Torah, Torah is normally referred to in the feminine, as the Gemara just quotes the pasuk over here. Torah Hashem tamima meshivas nafesh. So therefore, again, it used lashon of derech in the feminine. Hasam devimlachama kai. So when it comes to war, the darko shall ish laasos milchama. Vein darko shall isha laasos milchama. So Rabbi say war usually has a more masculine overtone, right? It's the derech of men to go out to war, not necessarily at least biblically, right? Not the derech of women to go out to war. Therefore, kasav lashon zachar. Therefore, the Torah uses derech in the masculine form when it comes to war. So therefore, Rabbi say essentially what the Gemara is answering is that lashon of derech goes both zachar and nekeva. And again, depending contextually, will determine which gender you're associating the word derech with. So Torah, which is Lashkei, which Rabbi say is also beautiful. Why is Torah lashon nekeva? Rabbi say because you know what Torah is? Torah is like a loving mother. A loving, nurturing mother. That's what David HaMelech says. Lulei sorascha shashuai as avadati bi'anyi. Were it not for your Torah. Lulei is the right word. Not that I delight in your Torah, I would have lost myself in your study. I would say, child falls down. Right? 9 out of 10 times. Who does the child run to? Right? When they fall down? Mother. Often the father's going to be like, come on, that's nothing to cry about. You're fine, right? What, right? Come on, just walk it off. What does the mother say? Oh, Shefala, come here, right? The mother holds the child. The mother cuddles the child. The mother, right, is all like the mother, like the child, also thinks that the sky is falling, right? Everybody, that's Torah. Torah is a mother. Remember, Torah is the Ribono Shel Olam. It's Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael Chadi. It's all one entity. Torah is a mother. You're having a difficult day. You're not sure what's going on in life. So ultimately, again, Torah is Marifish. Torah is that mother. Torah is the Nekeva. Like a mother also. A mother's love. Well, so you know what the fundamental distinction between a father's love and a mother's love is? Right? A mother's love is unconditional. a father's love, whether we like to admit it or not, is absolutely conditional. We often don't say it, right? Sometimes you just think it. But a father's love is not the same type of love as a mother's love. A mother's love is unconditional. Whatever my child does do or doesn't do, right? A mother's love is that's Torah. That's Torah. Torah loves us. Torah loves us regardless of what we do or we don't do. We listen to her, we don't listen to her. We keep her, we don't keep her. We abide by her, we don't abide by her. Right? At the end of the day, Torah loves us unconditionally. The Shmarach who loves us like a mother. So therefore, again, I would say it's so much more to say about this also. We still have to get back to Ephraim. But I would say, so interestingly enough, it's not a contradiction. Halacha lemaisa, the Yemarsu, when it comes to Torah, Torah is feminine. Therefore, Derech, when it comes to Torah, is using the feminine. War is normally a masculine pursuit, a male pursuit. And therefore, again, we use Lashon of Derech, ultimately, again, in the masculine. Good. Masnisna adadi lokashan. I will say, there's no contradiction between the Mishnahs. Remember, again, I will say, our Mishnah, by Kiddushin, uses the Lashon of the feminine, right? Because remember it says Shalosh Drachim, right? Versus Zav, which used Shiva Drachim, masculine. Also not a contradiction. Why? Hacha delagabi ishakai katani la lashon akeva. Simple answer. We'll say our Mishnah, which is talking about who? A woman. And therefore we'll say again, it uses the lashon of nikeva. Uses feminine lashon. Hasam will say first wide line, days on the days. First wide line. Hasam delagabi ish. So the Gemara says, there, when it by Zav, when it's talking about a man, the darko shall ishli badik, the darko shall ishli badik. Ultimately, you know what I'm saying? It is the derech of a man to check. It's what we just said before. When it comes to Zav, it's only a man who is subject to these examinations, right? Why did he have the emission? But ultimately, you know what I'm saying? By a woman, no matter what the source of the emission, ultimately, again, a woman doesn't check the source of the emission, because Rabbi says again, the laws of Zava applies no matter what the source. A woman becomes Tmeya through Zav, even with an Onis, so we'll say even with an extenuating circumstance. Therefore, again, Tani Lashon Zachar. Ultimately, again, it uses the Lashon of Zachar. So I will say, a really incredible idea. So therefore, Halacha Lemaisa now learned and picked up another idea, which is that Halacha Lemaisa, the Lashon of Derech is both Zachar and Nekeva. Incredible. So my time, Atani Shalosh Mishum Drachim. So I will say, so now let's take a step back. So remember, now, it's fascinating, by the way, it's such a beautifully methodical daf. The way like everything is coming to place, how I really like dissecting the Mishnah. So now I understand why it's Ha'isha. I also understand why it's Lashon of Niknis, Lashon of Kinyan, associated with Kesef. I also now know why it's Shalosh, because ultimately, again, Nikeva. And now I understand why Drachim, right? Derech. But now the Gemara says, why do you use Lashon of Drachim? My time at Tani Shalosh, Mishum Drachim, Nisni Dvarim, the Nisni Shlosha. Why do you have to use the Lashon of Derech? Right? Why not use Lashon of Dvarim? Dvarim, there are three ways in which you could affect Kiddushin. And I will say, by the way, the good news about using are the possibility to use Dvarim, so as opposed to Derech, which can be feminine, therefore puts you in the category of Shalosh. Why not use Dvarim, which again I will say, and you can use Shlosha. I was just asking, not that one is better than the other, we're just asking why he's setting it up this way. Nisni Dvarim, v'nisni Shlosha. Write Dvarim instead of Drachim, and write Shlosha. Mishum de Kabayilim Nisni Bia. Because what's the Gemara wants to introduce to the concept of Bia? Ubia Ikri Derech. And Bia is called Derech. Bia itself is called Derech. Taksiv, the Derech Gever Ba'alma, King Derech Isha Mina Efes. So Hatenach Bia. So fine, so what's the Gemara says, we want to use Derech because Bia is called Derech. That's fine. But Kesef Shtar Ma'ikalameimar. Now what's about Kesef and Shtar? Kesef and Shtar are not called Derech. So what do you do about those? Mishum Bia. Well, say you're right. We're using that for the lashon of Derech because of Bia. V'tani tarti atuchada. So I don't understand. Because one of the three mechanisms is called Derech, you're going to use one of the three to determine the lashon of the Mishnah. Why not go after two of the three? And two of the three are not called Derech, so you can use Dvarim. Hanach nami tzorech Bia ninu. But because at the end of the day, I will say, the ultimate goal, what's the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is Bia. What does it mean, the ultimate goal is Bia? In other words, the marital relationship is solidified and concretized through Bia. See, even remember again, even if Halacha Lemaisa, Kiddushin is affected through shtar or through kesef, right? The ultimate culmination of the marriage comes through bia. Through bia. So therefore, again, as much as all three are equally powerful in terms of affecting marriage, lemaisa, again, bia itself has a separate status. The other possibility is Hamani Rabbi Shimon. Whose opinion does this reflect? It's Rabbi Shimon. You say Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Ma Amar Torah Kikach Ishi. So what's the other possibility is as follows. The other actually, I'll say. Let me pause here for just a moment. Let me pause here just a moment. So before, let's do this. I want to figure out. Fine. Let's finish. Let me tell you because otherwise, because tomorrow's coming out. So I'll say, pause here just a second. If we have time, we'll go back. Let me just finish out the Ephron piece. I should have just done it before. And I would say, so remember again, we had the Lashon, we learned out Kesef from Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. So just want to point out how interesting it is that the, and I will say, just to show you how dramatic that is, to this day, right, when we do Kiddushin, ultimately Kiddushin is affected through Kesef, right, under the Chuppah contemporarily. We go ahead, right, husband gives wife, or man gives woman, right, a ring. That is Kiddushin B'Kesef. So now what turns out is that Aloch L'maisa, we're learning that out through Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. We'll say, why is it that the transaction on Rasa Machpelah, which is fascinating, why is it that transaction that serves as the source for Kiddushin? So we'll say, so perhaps the Yisod is like this. So if you look at Parshas Chayisara, when Avram Avinu was purchasing a burial plot, if you look at the way that Avram mourned Sarah, right? Because the purchasing of the burial plot is the culmination of the mourning for Sarah Imenu. How does Avram Avinu mourn Sarah? So what does the pasuk say? Vayavo Avraham lispod l'Sara velivkosa. Avram Avinu came to eulogize Sarah and ultimately again to eulogize her and to cry for her. Rosh Hashanah Fall Hirsch says, if you think about it, I'll say intuitively, it's out of order. What should the pasuk have said? What should the pasuk have said? Right? To go ahead and to cry for Sarah. Livkos l'Sara v'lispoda. Right? Because crying over loss is like instinctive. It just happens. Eulogizing usually requires thought, organization of thoughts, right? Writing something down, telling it over. So it should say Avram came to cry for Sarah and to eulogize for her. And Rav Hirsch says something absolutely amazing. Rav Hirsch explains that where lies the distinction between eulogizing and crying? He says, crying is the way I mourn my loss. Crying is for me. Eulogizing is for others. It's for others, right? Especially in the case of Sari Imenu, the loss of Sari Imenu was not just for us, it was for everyone else. So the eulogy is how I convey the greatness of this person to someone else. Shlomo Hirsch brings down, he says something amazing. He says, the greatness of Avraham Avinu is when he lost his beloved life partner, he put his own loss on the side and instead focused on what this loss meant for everyone else. Right? That's what it means by Avraham Abraham, the spoke the Sarah. First was the eulogy, take care of everyone else's loss, and then ultimately, again, then his own loss. And I will say, and then what happens? He purchases Maras Machpelah. So perhaps what Gemara is telling us is, this becomes a paradigm for marriage. I will say, What's the key to successful marriage? I have no idea. But it could be that a major step towards creating a beautiful, harmonious, loving, and enduring marriage is you put your needs second and the needs of the other first. It's not about me. It's not about I want, I need. Successful marriage says I put the needs of my spouse. And I will say, obviously, if you have two people doing that, if you have two people putting each other on a pedestal, you have two people making each other the center of their respective universes, you have two people saying, your needs are most important. And I will say, that is a blissful union. And perhaps that's why the Gemara chooses to learn out the concept of Kiddushin, Kesef, Mistei Ephron. Take me back to Ephron, because when you take me back to Ephron, you see how a husband ultimately again treats his wife. You see what it means to build. How do you build a successful kiddushin? Kicha kicha mistei Ephron. Vayavo Avraham lispoda sarav livkosa. Put your needs second. put the needs of your spouse first, and that ultimately is a kiddushin which we'll endure. So we'll stop over here for today. Shkreich will pick up again with Rabbi Shimon and Yeras Hashem for a short daf tomorrow. Pick up Yeras Hashem with Rabbi Shimon tomorrow. Incredible Ascholot Kiddushin. Mazel Tov. Shkreich. All right, Chevron Zoom, have a great day, everyone.